I'm Adam.
And I'm Mike.
Welcome to The Dad Experience,
a podcast where dads can connect
and openly share stories.
Here's what to expect on this episode of The Dad Experience.
You know, we have talked about, you know, this special moment that you have with your kid when you're reading to them. But the benefits go beyond that, those 5-10 minutes that you might spend, or maybe longer, putting them to bed with a book and or sharing a story. I think that kids, you know, they learn from what they see.
The Dad Experience.
Welcome again to The Dad Experience. Today we're going to do another episode on reading and the importance of reading with our children. Today on the show we have Executive Director at Scholastic, Nelson Gomez. Nelson's going to talk to us a little bit about reading, how we can do more with our kids with reading, as well as World Read Aloud Day, which is coming up very soon. So really excited to get into the meat of reading and how we can better engage our kids with books and do more with them with literacy. Welcome, Nelson, to the show.
Thank you very much, Adam, for having me. As I was telling you before, I've been listening to your podcast, and it just makes me think, you know, now that my kids are a little older, I wish I had this sort of program back then when I was probably in your shoes right now.
Yeah, it's been great. You know, like I said, if anything for me by doing this, there's a lot, we've gained a lot of listeners. We do have a lot of listenership and I do appreciate it. But man, more than anything, there's a couple things that I've kind of learned from this whole thing. Is one, I learn obviously as I go. You know, I'm not an expert. I'll never be an expert. And I continually want to be a better father, just like everybody else, I'm sure, that listens to the show. And then two, you know, it's kind of neat that my children someday, you know, when I'm older or they have children, they'll be able to go back and listen to this maybe well after I'm gone, and with their children, or they can learn from it, even though it's a podcast geared towards dads, you know, they'll have something to kind of listen to forever as well, which is kind of neat.
Yeah, no, definitely. Then they will realize, oh, my dad was really, really a wise man and very smart, and he made really good points. But that might come later once they have their own families, if they choose to.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, I hope so. I hope they enjoy it, and I hope they know that, you know, I may not always be the best at what I do as through my fatherhood experience, but you know, I try and I've been trying to learn and be better for them. So hopefully they know that, and they'll get some enjoyment and maybe some amusement out of it at times too, to hear us talk on here. So
yeah, definitely.
It's always neat. Well, you know, we always start off the dad experience with, you know, kind of the makeup of your household. Who lives with you at home? Kind of let our listeners get a feel for who you are and, you know, your dad. So kind of tell us a little bit about, you know, the makeup of your household and who lives with you and kind of your family background.
Sure, definitely. So right now, I live with my wife of 23 years, Rebecca. We live here in New Rochelle for the last 17 years. We have two kids at home, 17 and 18 year old, junior and senior in high school. We also have two boys who, one is in college, third year, and one who just graduated this last May. And as a matter of fact, he is living in New Orleans, you know, taking care of himself, which is great as a father who, of a new graduate. But more importantly, he's doing Teach for America, which is something that he wanted to do for the next couple of years, way to give back and also gain some experience of living and doing something that he feels very strongly, which is, you know, educating our kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. You know, we've talked a little bit about your household, and we've talked a little bit about off the microphone and now on the microphone. You know, obviously your kids are successful and doing well. You know, they've gone to university, they're going to university. Man, how does it feel to kind of get them there? I mean, I'm sure, you know, the college bills aren't always great, but how does it feel to kind of get them there and get them? Because right now I'm like, oh my gosh, are they going to get through school? Or am I giving them the right information? Are they going to be just, you know, are they going to learn? I mean, they don't have to go to college, you know, for me, even as an educator, I've kind of looked at, you know, the whole idea of the university and higher level education, that it might not be a necessary thing for them. And sometimes it isn't for everybody, especially, you know, especially with all the trades that are going at the wayside that people need to do, you know, they may mm-hmm. find something that they enjoy. So, but how does it feel to kind of get them to that point where it's like, oh, they're free? Or is it still just as nerve-wracking as it was before?
Well, it's a little less nerve-wracking. The bills, definitely. I mean, we just sent our payment for the boys, who, my son Felipe, who is in his third year, just this past January. So every time you send one of these paychecks, you realize that you're investing a lot on your kids, and they deserve it. The best advice that I ever got was from a neighbor who also has four kids, older than mine, put them all through college. And she told my wife, you know, you have to take it one semester at a time. I know it feels like a mountain that you might not be able to climb, but you just have to figure out one semester at a time. And that's what we have been doing. And so far, you know, we already got one out. One is almost out, and, you know, a year and a half to go. And then the other two will come. To your point about taking a gap year, I'm totally with you. I think that there is other possibilities besides higher education. Of course, you know, I think that, you know, if you go through the high school, the expectation is definitely to go off to college, but there is a lot out there, and I have made that choice available to our sons. So far, no takers. they're all going to college, so I'll still be working until I have no idea. I'm just, retirement for me is like a dream right now, but I have to say that it has all been worth it. You know, I my wife and I are very lucky to have four boys who are just nice kids, and they're trying their best to become adults, and that's all we can ask for.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, that that student, your children didn't go on to do something like in the gap year, or even go on to into a trade or something. But, you know, even in your profession, you know, we talked about that you're part of, you know, executive director at Scholastic. Are you noticing anything geared more towards that route of folks, or is it still pretty much geared towards secondary and we're still prepping all of our children to for college? You know, where I'm at, we're always prepping them for post-secondary, obviously. But, you know, I'm wondering if that maybe will start to change as we see the world change a little bit more, or is it still pretty much from what you've witnessed from your experience with your kids and then maybe from what you do that things are still geared towards post-secondary?
Yeah, I think I have heard of a couple of cases where kids have taken a gap year, but I think the motivation is still there for parents and for kids to go off to complete their studies. I think there's a lot of pressure in society right now, and I think one thing that might change that a little bit is the cost of going to school. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, when you're looking at, you know, even middle of the road colleges, you're talking of tens of thousands of dollars. And so I know from just talking to my friends that a lot of parents have this struggle to, you know, you obviously want to support your children. You obviously want to send them to a good school. But we also have to remember that a lot of 18-year-olds really don't know what they want to do with the rest of their lives. So in college, they can figure out, some kids have that desire to be something, and you can send them to a school like that only to find out that they want to change majors. So there's a lot of trepidation in parents spending a lot of money, or their kids taking a lot of loans. If at the end of 4 years, you have to come out with a big debt. But I still see the same push to get our kids into college. I haven't seen that really slow, or I haven't seen a lot of parents change paths from that perspective. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just it's interesting to see. Like you said, you hit the nail on the head. It's getting more and more expensive. And does it become less cost effective? You know, I don't know. I have never done the stats and I don't know what a tradesperson makes exactly. And I don't know, you know what I mean? But I wonder if we're going to get to a point where we're going to be bursting at the seams with costs and all these people, we're already at with huge debt, with people carrying huge debt after college, that it's not with the professions they're going into and the pay that they get over so many years, is it really going to pay itself off? I wonder what's going to happen with that. You know, and I guess only time will really tell us that. So
yeah, no, definitely.
Very interesting. That'd be interesting.
Definitely. And I think also when it comes to, you know, cost does make people change or go a different route. Maybe not the college that they prefer to. Maybe another college, because both either the kid or the parents cannot afford it. And it's a shame, you know, for a country of our wealth not to have better options for kids so they don't have to come out worrying about all of this, so they can start being productive from the moment they graduate. It's a shame that we don't have a better program to support them.
Yeah,
for sure. And to support parents, by the way.
No, yeah, because it's definitely hard on the parents as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, we brought you on today to kind of tell us a little bit about World Read Aloud Day. Can you kind of give us a little bit of background about it and tell us what it is?
Sure. Well, the first thing I have to mention is World Read Aloud Day is next Wednesday on February 5th. So
and it's actually the day that the people are going to be listening to this episode, so they'll get the information and get right on it.
That's great. I hope they listen to this and they're ready to go. So it's something that Scholastic, in conjunction with the global literacy nonprofit Lit World, has been sponsoring for the last 11th year. It's global. Over 173 countries are celebrating this day. And basically calls attention to reading out loud and sharing stories by basically, you know, just grabbing a book, finding an audience, and reading out loud. Obviously, for a lot of parents, especially parents of small kids, that's your built-in audience. That's where we're hoping that all the parents can if they're in the habit, keep doing it. If they're not in the habit, to use that day as a starting point. But you don't have to be limited to your kids. Your kids can read aloud to each other. They can find a buddy. They can write to their. They can read to their pet. They can read to their toys, or they can read to an adult, maybe a grandparent. So we want to make this. There's no age limit in who can gets to participate. Everyone can get to participate on this day.
Yeah, no, that's great. You know, it's funny you mentioned read aloud. Yes, when the kids are like my children's age, my daughter's 1.5, and my youngest is 1.5. My oldest is 3, and I just put my youngest to bed, and we just got done reading out loud ourselves. And you know, their favorite book right now is Little Blue Truck. So that one kind of gets a little old to me, but it's great, and I love to see the interaction and see them repeating lines and kind of just comprehending it. And as they grow, to see them comprehend even more and more, even though we're reading to them, they're starting to, you know, decode and figure those things out, which is pretty neat.
Well, that's what makes it special. Especially is your that bond, that moment in time, maybe once a day, when, you know, all the other distractions are out of the way and you get time to spend with your kid. And, you know, I think, you know, families can make it their special day if they all read together. We are actually, as Scholastic, obviously we promote reading. It's very important to us. For this particular day, we have a website if your audience wants to visit and get some recommendations or some free resources. It's scholastic.com/World Read Aloud Day. And if you go in there, you'll find all sorts of neat stuff just to help guide them. Because sometimes, you know, especially new parents, they might not know what are the kind of books that I should be reading for my kids, or even all parents. So it's a great site that we hope people can visit on this day. And also, we're also using all our channels or our social media channels to try to promote this day. We're hoping that people can use the hashtag World Read Aloud Day to share their own experience. Because I think when you see other people, you know, either through videos or photos, of reading to their kids or reading to whoever they happen to be, it might incentivize you to do the same. And of course, we're hoping that people can share the stories with us and with everyone.
Yeah. So I have a question for you. What are your plans for Read Aloud Day? How are you going to spend it, or how are you going to share in that? Are you going to visit schools? Are you going to do it with your family? How do you plan to kind of do Read Aloud Day?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was thinking about this because my kids are, as I think I mentioned before, 17, mm-hmm. 18, 20, and 22. So they're a little older. But I'm actually reading Age of Innocence with, because my younger son, the one who's a junior in high school, is reading that for school. And I decided to start reading just so we can do a little book club between the two of us. So that day, I want to, whatever chapter he's in, I finished the book, of course. That day, I want to pick up on whatever chapter he's in and plan to read it aloud with him so we can, in doing that, also discuss the book. So that's actually my plan. Because I was thinking, like, yeah, I don't have little kids around me. But then, you know, I have this 17-year-old, and we're going to be talking about books. And what better way to do it than to read a chapter from Age of Innocence, which is a great book, by the way.
Yeah, that's awesome. That sounds like it's going to be great. And it's good family bonding time, I would imagine. It'd be kind of neat to just spend that time and kind of have a good conversation about what's going on in the book, and hopefully lead to other conversations that will be, you know, hopefully built on top of each other.
Yeah, no, and actually, you know, we at Scholastic, we do this report every year. It's called the Scholastic Kids and Family Reading Report. And in it, you know, you always try to pick up some statistic that to help our business, to help guide the kind of products that we put out there. But one of the interesting things that they mentioned in this last report was that the majority of kids and parents love or like read aloud time because they consider it special time. So it's something that once you're doing it, you like to do it, both as a parent and as a kid. And you know, telling stories, sharing stories, because it's not just about reading, but it's also sharing stories. It's a great way for not only kids to learn about the world and the community that they live in, maybe their surroundings, but also to learn about other places that they might not be familiar with. And the more you expose your kids to reading, it just expands the mind. And I think that, you know, for us as parents, because I did this when they were kids, it also gave me the time to act silly, to use my imagination. It gave me a time to talk to my kid, to share, to laugh. It's one of the memories that I have when the kids were young. And remember, I had four kids under 5 years old, was either going and being surrounded by them every night, because they all wanted to hear a story. And I'll read to them. Sometimes I'll make up a story. I was edited a lot of times. They will always interrupt my study to tell me I was not, you know, the dragon was not blue, it was red or something like that. But it was all in fun. And what I remember is just making the silly voices, scaring them in a fun way or making them laugh. Is such a special moment. So I'm not surprised when the report said that most of the parents and kids love this time because it helps you to bond with each other. I was not surprised to read that.
So Nelson, I know you mentioned a little bit before about, you know, why reading is so important with our kids, but maybe you can expand on why do you think storytelling and reading out loud is really important for our kids and our youth and maybe even the adults as well, too.
Sure. You know, I think, you know, we have talked about, you know, this special moment that you have with your kid when you're reading to them. But the benefits go beyond that, those 5-10 minutes that you might spend or maybe longer putting them to bed with a book and or sharing a story. I think that kids, you know, they learn from what they see, and they see you being attentive, being basically loving them by doing this. And then, you know, obviously when they grow up, they're going to try to imitate that. So right off the gate, you're giving them a good example. I also think that, you know, in terms of learning, the more you expose your kids to different stories, the more you expand their minds. The imagination is extremely important for kids. They have to use their imagination in the school a lot, especially when they're trying to learn new things, and they have to figure out how to think. That's their brain working. And I think, you know, when you're reading aloud to your kids, you're giving them an opportunity to use some of that skills. I think in terms of, you know, how to do it, it's also important to create the environment for them to feel secure, because you want kids to feel comfortable. I think we all as parents strive for that. And so, you know, reading aloud can be something where you first, you know, you choose a cozy place, maybe in bed, or maybe in a nice, you know, couch where you can, you know, both feel comfortable reading to each other. And then the other very important thing is to make sure that your kid is an active participant. I think that part of what we like to do at Scholastic is make sure that the kids have a voice, and we're always talking about giving kids the rights to choose their own books and so on. So in storytelling, yes, your kids love for you to read to them, but they also will want to participate. I mentioned before that with my sons, they used to love when I used to come home. I had four under 5 year olds, so I had the opportunity to have them all around me. And in telling stories and in reading to them, I used to make up games and or characters. One of my characters was Monstro, which is in English is monster. And even to this day, they remember that. So I think you in creating that environment, you're actually reinforcing the kind of things that you hope your kids be creative, be engaging, and have a great imagination.
Yeah, and who knows? Maybe when as they decide to have families, hope maybe in the future they'll take over Monstro and be able to do it themselves and carry on that tradition, which will be neat too.
Yeah, no, that's always the hope, and if you create that environment, they will probably do that.
Right, right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. This is a great place for us to do that. Don't forget that The Dad Experience is on all social network platforms. Just search The Dad Experience, and you can email us experienceanddad@gmail.com if you have a question for me, topic that you want us to cover here on the show, or you yourself want to be a guest on the show. So let us know. Shoot us an email. And more after the break with Nelson. When we come back, we're going to hopefully get some recommendations on some books, maybe for different age levels for our kids. And find out some other ways we can get creative with our children to read out loud. So stick around after the break for some more information on World Read Aloud Day and just reading in general. Welcome back to the Dad Experience. Again, we're here with Nelson Gomez. He's executive director at Scholastic. We are talking World Read Aloud Day, which is happening today, the day that this episode has been released. And we've just been talking a little bit about why reading out loud is so important for our kids. But, you know, we're going to kind of get into this a little bit, and maybe we can twist your arm, Nelson, to tell us maybe some book recommendations for our children to read out loud. I know you mentioned one that you're going to be reading with your son because he's reading it in his high school class, but maybe you can give us some books that maybe you've read over the years with your children, or just things that, you know, from Scholastic that you've discovered over the years. So maybe we can start off with maybe infant, early childhood, some books that our folks can maybe get into on World Read Aloud Day.
Sure. So there's definitely a few. One of the books that I used to love to my kid is Monster at the End of this book, which is a Sesame book with Grover being the protagonist. Hilarious book. I encourage all the parents to get it because, you know, as you turn every page, you make the voice of Grover. It's really funny. But we have others like No David. I don't know if you have that in your repertoire, but it's a great book of just this poor kid that they just tell him no all the time. It's very funny. It has a lot of heart to it. And then we have Thelma and the Unicorn. There was a really great series in somebody, I actually know the author very well, Lucille Santarelli. There was an old lady. There was an old lady who ate a bug. There's an old lady. It's a hilarious series. Very fun, again, to be creative with your little one. And another one that you might want to do is Emma and Julia Love Ballet. And, you know, you might have to, like, you know, swirl a little bit when you're doing that book, you know, just to amuse your kid. I don't encourage you to videotape your dancing around, but it's a great book.
Yeah. What about maybe late elementary or middle school? Do you have some tips or things with that?
Yeah, for late elementary, there is a great book, Echo, by Pam Munoz Ryan. She's one of our favorite authors. She's great. And as a matter of fact, on the 17th, we're also going to be releasing Mañana Land, which is a great book. I can't wait for people to discover it and see it. We also have the Park and Inheritance by Varian Johnson, and Gregor the Overlander by Susan Collins. Susan Collins, of course, is of the Hunger Games fame. But Gregor the Overlander is a great trilogy. And then we have Kirimanla and the Kingdom Beyond by Sanjantini. I can never say her name. That's Gupta. Please forgive me. I can never pronounce.
Oh, that's okay.
The last name.
That's okay.
And then in middle school, those are more late elementary. Mm-hmm. In middle school, we have this great story, Refugee, by Alan Gratz. It's mm-hmm. I encourage you, especially in the times that we live in, to pick up that book. It's
I
such
know
a
that
great
book
read.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that book. Yeah, I believe my wife uses that in her middle school, and it's on her shelf in her middle school. And I believe I've seen it in some of the ESL classrooms in my school where I teach.
Yeah, it's even the cover. I mean, when you see the cover, you just want to get into the book. I can also recommend Slacker by Gordon Corman. Of course, if you are a big fan of Five Nights at Freddy's, we have a series for that. And I think one of the books I can recommend from that series is The Silver Eyes. And then Make Lemonade, because you always want to make lemonade, by Virginia mm-hmm. Woolf. Which are great reads for middle school.
And then what about maybe our high school students and our young adults?
You know, take the MIC, which is Fictional Stories for Everyday Resistance by Brittany Morris. It's a great read. Long Way Down by Jason Reynolds. And fun fact, Jason is the National Ambassador for Young People's Literature this year. So we're very excited to have that book out there. Exo by Lee Fonda and The Revolution of Evelyn Serrano by Sonia Manzano are great books. And then in our young adult books, we have Give Me Truth by Erica Grantsworth, All the Crooked Saints by Maggie Stiefwater, which is a great read about this farm. Well, I'm not going to spoil it. We also have the Porcupine of Truth by Bill Konigsberg and Divided We Fall by Trended Reedy. Those are all great reads. Of course, we always have our standard Harry Potter.
I was just going to say, do you guys still publish the Harry Potter books?
Oh, we publish Harry Potter. We love Harry. And
you know, I have to say, as a young adult, I was in college and I drifted away from reading. I'm not going to lie. And I found a new love for reading when those books, I remember going on a trip to Hawaii and taking the first three books with me. Cause I think it was when I started, right when the third one came out, and I read them all in a week and a half period, just being on the beach and enjoying those books. So, you know, I appreciate that myself because it really got me back into reading.
Yeah, no, I said they're still great books, and now we have new formats. We have these beautiful, beautiful illustrated books of Harry Potter. If you're a fan of Harry Potter, and even if you're not a fan, you grab those illustrated books. I mean, just imagine those books, and I know they were they're big, but now they're bigger, but the illustrations are just sensational. They're just beautiful.
That's one thing I cannot wait to read with my kids. I do want to read that one aloud as our family, and I'm really looking forward to them coming of age where they'll be able to do that.
Yeah, that'll be great. And it's something that I think, you know, obviously the movies and all the merchandise around Harry Potter sometimes take away from where everything started. But once you get into the story, once you start reading, you realize why Harry Potter was so special.
Right. Absolutely. And then you can all that stuff, I feel like, for us will come along after. I want to read the books, and then I want to do a compare and contrast. You know, I guess that's the educator in me trying to analyze the book and then go on and see, did they do it justice? Because we know that, you know, movies usually don't do books justice. So, but it'll be interesting to kind of see what imagery that my children kind of imagine Harry Potter to be and who he is and what the world that surrounds him, and then put it to visual and see if it's kind of what they thought, you know, kind of debrief with them after. Well, this is what you imagined when you read it. You know, I'm really looking forward to that whole process and seeing that unfold.
Well, we're Scholastic, will encourage you to definitely encourage your kids to read Harry and to read to read, not just our books, because obviously we love people to read Scholastic books, but we want the kids to just read any book.
So, you know, we have a reoccurring segment, here on the Dad Experience of things we can't wait to see through our children's eyes. And you know, you may have experienced this already with your children. Maybe, you know, it's a life experience. Maybe it's a trip. Maybe it's a book, but what have you been excited to maybe experience again through your children's eyes, or just experience through your children's eyes as a parent? It could be an event. It can be a life event. It can be, you know, a movie. It could be a book. But is there something that maybe you've already experienced with your family, or something that you really look forward to seeing them experience as they grow into adulthood?
Yeah, I will answer that in two parts. One is, I was lucky enough, as I said, my boys are a little older. Since I was born and raised in Medellin, Colombia, came into this country when I was 12 years old, I always imagined my kids being in the house that I grew up. And when I came here the year after, my family made another story on top of the house that I grew up, and they rented the bottom house, and then they all lived. So every time I went back, I was always going to the second floor. And when I started having kids, I always dream of, like, I just want to see my kids in the house, running around some of the you know, the same halls, the same patios that I used to run to. And I was lucky enough that in one of our trips, the house was vacated. The tenants that were there had left. And my cousin decided not to rent it. We were, like, within 3 weeks of getting to Medellin. And so she left it empty, waiting for us to come. And she, you know, she put a few beds and so on so that we could stay in that house. So for me, seeing my kids in the house that I grew up was something that was like a dream come true. And they loved the house. They enjoyed the house as much as I did when we were there. The second is that I, you know, looking towards the future, I can't wait to see fatherhood through my son's eyes, and you know, I can wait. You know, as I said, they're 17, 18, 20, 22. I can wait for them to have their kids. They don't have to have them right now. Definitely not. But I can't wait to see that experience. And circling back to the topic that we've been talking, I can't wait for them to see them with their kids, reading, sharing stories, making them part of this, you know, making part of this imagination that goes in, and this bonding that goes in when you're together with your kids. I think the problem is going to be that grandpa, me, is probably going to be fighting with my sons to be the ones telling the stories and to be the one reading to my grandkids. But I can't wait to see fatherhood through their eyes. It'll be very interesting. And to your point earlier, when you were talking about, you know, rushing through, you know, the, you know, 5 minutes today, and you know, of course your kid is not going to remember that. And trust me, I can remember times where I just wanted the kids to go to sleep, and it was like, come on, let's just get this.
Isn't there a book about that too somewhere?
There might be. There should be. But at the same time, there were many moments where there was a lot of laughter at the end of the night. And if anything, you made them laugh so much that then it was your own fault. But you were okay. So right. I can't wait for to see my kids through that and see if they learn something from me.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they did. It's been a pleasure talking to you. So right here is your chance. Let the folks know how they can, you know, find Scholastic and find all the stuff that's going for World Read Aloud Day. Also, just so our listeners know, they'll be able to just go into the show notes of this episode and click on those links. But, you know, give them a heads up on where they can find, you know, maybe one more time about the World Read Aloud Day and all the social media stuff that they can follow.
Yeah, so since the podcast is going to be released on that day, you know, today is World Read Aloud Day. Again, it's a global event. Over 173 countries are celebrating this. So we have, you know, millions of people around the world participating in this. It's cheap. You don't have to buy a ticket. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is get a book, find someone that you can read aloud to, and then just read aloud to. We're very grateful through our partnership with World Lit to be able to keep sponsoring this event. If people want to find out more about it, they can go into our website, scholastic.com/World Read Aloud Day. And like I said before, we want people to share the moments, the videos, the photos with not only with us but with everyone through our social media channels. So they can use the hashtag World Read Aloud Day, and hopefully I hope that everyone enjoys today, and I hope everyone is out there just reading aloud.
Awesome. Well, Nelson, it's been a pleasure. I really appreciate you taking the time out to talk to our audience about reading and the importance of reading and sharing a little bit about you and your family. So thanks so much for joining us today.
Adam, thank you very much for having us. Because I represent Scholastic and for giving us this opportunity to get the word out. Thank you very much.
No problem. Don't forget the Dad Experience. You can email us at experienceanddad@gmail.com. Find us on our website, thedadexperiencepodcast.com. Shoot us an email if you have a question. Maybe you have a question for Nelson and that I can pass along to him, or you have a show idea, or you yourself want to be on the show. Shoot us an email. Let us know. Find us on all social media. You can message us there. Just search The Dad Experience. And until next time, thanks for listening to The Dad Experience.